So let's look a little bit about what temptation is and how it works itself out. We see this in the first reading today. So we have Adam and Eve. They've been made. They're friends with God. They hang out with God. God comes and visits them in the garden. And they enjoy God's presence. And then the serpent comes in and puts a question of God's law to Eve. He starts that questioning. Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? And now we see that Eve has full knowledge. She knows what the law is. Oh yes, we may eat of all the fruit of the tree in the garden, except the one in the center. We can't even touch that, lest we'll die. And then the lie. Oh, you won't die. Oh, no. God is lying to you. Now, when we take a step back and we look and we ask ourselves, who lies to us? God or Satan? I think the answer is obvious. Could it be Satan? Yes, I do believe he is the one that lies to us, not God. But a lot of times his lies seem so convincing that we start to think that God lies to us about what is good and what is bad, what is evil and what is right. And so he puts this doubt in there. And the doubt is concerning our relationship with God. God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like him. God is keeping something from you. God is a rival. He knows that if you eat this, then you're going to be up against him, and he doesn't want that because he has a very soft ego, you know, and he doesn't want to have some sort of rivalry with you, you know. God is keeping you under his thumb, under the heel of his foot. Don't listen to God. This is Satan's words. And we see this very often in our own lives, that when the temptations come up, we think God is keeping something from us. When he says, no, stop. But what's he really saying? Well, to put it in song, stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Yeah. And that's the truth. God is saying, I love you so much. Don't break my heart. Don't go breaking my heart. He loves us so much. And he knows that sin goes and breaks relationship with him. He knows that it hurts us and it hurts our relationship with him. He says, don't do that. You'll die. Sin is death. Don't do that. You'll die. And we say, God, you're keeping something from me. And we act like two-year-olds sometimes when we don't get our way. And then we go and sneak and do the thing we know we're not supposed to do. As if God doesn't know that we're doing it. It's not that God is the great punisher in the sky. But rather, his heart breaks to see we, his children, killing ourselves by our sin. So the liar puts this doubt of God's love into our mind. We think we're at rivalry with him, and makes that which we are tempted toward look better than God's love. We see that Eve looks at this tree and saw that the food was that it was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. And that's what all temptation is, good, pleasing, and desirable. Sin isn't going to look like it's something awful. If it did, no one would go after it. Sin is going to make itself look good, pleasing, and desirable. But in those moments, we have to ask ourselves, is this sin better and more pleasing and more desirable than the incredible and infinite love of God? He says, I went to the cross for love of you. I gave you everything. I gave you life. Will you doubt my love? So how do we overcome? How do we conquer temptation? Jesus shows us. First step he does is he goes to scriptures. With each temptation, Jesus rebuts with God's loving word. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. God's word is love, and it upholds us and gives us life. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He is a lover. Don't test that love. Trust that love. The Lord your God shall you worship, and Him alone shall you serve, because our God is a loving Master who will take care of us and lift us up and not put us under His feet. But each time Satan is saying, oh no, do this, do that other thing, you can't trust God. Trust me instead. Satan is a terrible master. God is a gentle and forgiving and merciful and loving master. So we go to Scripture, and Scripture will teach us that trust in God. And then we have so many different ways to overcome temptation if we use these tools which are sent to us. First is the holy name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, it kills me every time I hear people use His name in vain. The holy name of Jesus means the Lord saves. And you know, in the book of Genesis, rather, every time God speaks, what happens? It's done. Let there be light. And there was light. Right? In the creation. God speaks, something happens. The name of Jesus is God speaking, the Lord saves. And the Lord will save. We hear in Philippians chapter 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bend in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth. His name has authority over the evil one, over temptations. If we call on His name, He will drive away the temptations. There are times that I'll be in the midst of temptation, I'll just be saying with great love, Jesus, 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 help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, Jesus. And just calling on His name. And the temptation dissipates. We can also call and invoke His precious blood. The blood which was shed on the cross. The blood from the crowning of thorns. The blood from the scourging. The blood from His agony in the garden. That precious saving blood washes over us and drives away the evil one. Satan cannot stand that blood. If we invoke that blood, He will help us in temptation. He also gives us, each one of us, a guardian angel to watch over us all the days of our lives. We need to invoke these holy angels. We'll hear more about this at the retreat, at the mission next week. But He gives us these holy angels. You know, a lot of times we think they're these nice little, cute little angel thingies, they're flying next to us. No, these are serious war machines. They are sent to fight Satan in our lives, to help us. We need to invoke them. You realize that your guardian angel that is with you all the time, if God gave the command to your guardian angel could destroy the whole material universe. It has that power and authority with God's word. We're not talking about little imps that we, or cute little cherubs that we see pictures of. We're talking about serious fighting machines to help us in our war against evil. Invoke your holy angel. And then, of course, the saints. These are people like you and like me, who have gone before us, who know all the temptations that we have undergone, who many of them know all the sins that we've committed. They've been there. They're not, a lot of times we put saints up on the pedestal, which eventually they got there, but much of their lives very often was spent fighting temptations and fighting sin, and at times really not fighting at all, but just going with sin. And then they have major conversions. People like St. Augustine, who lived his whole life and, you know, oh Lord, give me continence and chastity, but not yet. You know, that they know what it is that we suffer. They've been there and they can help us. They can give us that strength. They can invoke Almighty God's grace to pour upon us. So my sisters and brothers, let us during this Lenten season fight. Let us fight against powers and principalities. Let us fight against the temptations that come against us. It's far harder to fight that which is between our ears than the things that are outside of us, I'll tell you that much. The temptation that comes in our brains and in our thoughts. It's far harder to do that than many of the things on the outside. Let us fight against these with these great graces that Jesus has given to us. The sacred scriptures and trust in God's great love for us. Calling on Jesus' holy name, the precious blood of Jesus, the holy angels, the saints, and so many of the other tools He's given us. Let us call upon them and let us seek God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength.